the book of Romans for, I guess, for 2 months. And as I mentioned the last time, we will stop. And maybe next time, we'll go back to the book of Romans chapter 1 and go to 8. And as you know, Pastor Perry is my mentor, and I asked him, consult my struggling about Book of Romans, really difficult because going backward, and he suggested me take a break and preach from Psalms. I think that is really great. So I've been reading Book of Psalms. I don't want to preach from 1 through 150. That will be too much. So probably I'm reading Book of John until I finish my study and things that I want to preach from the Book of John. And probably I'll be preaching from Psalms. Today will be the first one, Psalm 3. Before reading our text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today again to worship you. Nothing else but think about my Lord, my Jesus Christ, that we're going to find from the Scripture. Lord, would you please touch our hearts and help us to get rid of everything to hinder us to think about you, to give our heart to you, so that we only listen, we only read your word, and we will learn from you. Lord, also bless me as I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ from Psalms. Would you please bless me and bless our congregation so that we will only look at our Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is from the Old Testament. From our Pew Bibles, page number is 569. 569. Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I walk again, and for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. This is the word of God. Amen. I do not want to discourage you, or I don't mean to discourage you, but we know one thing. Life is not easy. Maybe some people will say life is not fun. Even from the Bible, Solomon, King Solomon says, vanity of vanities. It's very discouraging to read that one. Given by God, God created us. And not always good things are happening to us. Life is like a war, happening lots of things, sometimes fighting for something, otherwise because we don't get anything. And we will face many difficult situations, physically suffering, maybe spiritually depressed, and we don't know where to go, and financially struggling. We don't know how to get out of that deep, deep trouble. And many other challenges also, and issues also we will see, and we don't know what to do, and sometimes we don't want to face. Probably you might have all kinds of issues and things that you don't want to see right now at this moment. And then you pray. You pray hard, but God is not answering. God is so quiet. and it seems there's no hope and no future anymore, no one is trying to help you, then the question is, what shall I do? And what shall we do? If you read Psalm 3, you see the same thing happening in David's life. And although we remember that he was the greatest king, the best king ever in the Bible, in the history, maybe we can say, that we know that he also had lots of bad days, and we can say horrible days. We know all the story, what happened to him. He committed a sin against God by taking someone else's wife. And then to cover his sin, he killed his faithful servant. And that the best King David was, we remember him as the worst sinner ever, like us before God. King David had to face many life-challenging moments and troubles, like us, like people in the world, like you and me. And 2 Samuel 15 tells about his horrible story about him, what happened to him. His son, Absalom, based on 2 Samuel chapter 15, he said, Absalom stole the heart of the people to be a king, and made himself a king. Another thing is that David and his soldiers could have killed Absalom right away. He got the power. If he wanted to do it, he could subdue him, his son Absalom. The Bible tells us that what he was, because he was a great warrior. But we know from the story, rather, David and his people ran away from Absalom's threat. Maybe it was a father's choice. I don't want to fight against my son, and he didn't want to kill his own son. So he ran away to escape that horrible situation. By looking at his life gets difficult and so tired. His son Absalom wanted power and honor and money and more and money. I guess it's okay for him. He will be a king in the future. And however, to get what he wanted, right now he tried to kill his own father. Now, have you ever thought about David's feeling about that situation? This is really awkward and chased by his own son trying to kill him. And many people now turned against him. Even if you read 2 Samuel 15 and 16, people cursed him. Must have felt that his all power and honor and glory that he had, everything was gone and now nothing left. Must have felt that now maybe God had abandoned me. Just looking at his life right now, surely there is no hope, there is no future, nothing there. But only death will come. Death remained. King David was physically tired, running away, trying to hide somewhere, emotionally really depressed. My son is trying to kill me because he wants to be king. But interestingly, spiritually, he was spiritually very strong. That's happening in Psalm 3. David wrote Psalm 3 when he fled from Absalom's threat. That's in the Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. As I just explained, his situation was no good, nothing left. His son was trying to kill him. And then more than that, David confessed today, David was really bothered what people said about him. In verse 2, he says, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. No salvation in God. Another way to say, God is not going to take care of you. No, God doesn't love you anymore. Now everyone saw that there was no more God's blessing for him in his life. That's why people cursed him. And then actually, no salvation in God. That meaning is just curse for King David. Now think about that. If you were in David's situation at that time, what shall you do? Your life gets worse in every turn, everywhere you go, you know, physically and financially and emotionally. No hope, no future, no meaning of life. There's no desire of living in this world. Even there's no meaning of faith in God. God, why are you pushing me up to this point? And what shall we do? What shall you do? Now, Psalm 3 conveys in this particular situation a particular wisdom for us. It teaches us what we have to do when we are afflicted. We are afflicted with troubles, and after troubles, even with our enemies. It starts like this. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. We just read verse 1 and 2, but I'm going to put the words like this. When we face lots of trouble, first thing, bring your heart to God. That's what David did. If you read the Psalm, you will find out that it's David's common practice. I think that's his habit, to bring his troubled heart to God when he was really afflicted with his trouble, many troubles, even with his sin against God. He brought everything to God. His luggage he brought to God. And in his prayer, in the very first thing he did was what? Reporting to God his situation. The same is true in Psalm 3. He reports that many people became his enemies, including his own son. And he also reports that what people are saying about his relationship with God. Although he is reporting here, verse 1 and 2, about his situation to God, we know that this is complaining. It is right to say for him, reporting things around him. Not just only reporting about his situation, but he was complaining about his situation. Lord, this is what happened to me. Lord, I don't understand why. From his prayer, we see that it's okay. It's really okay for you and me to bring our heart with lots of trouble and complaints about our situation to God in our prayers. God knows our situation. However, it doesn't mean that we don't have to say anything about our situations. We can definitely pray about. If we have time to complain things to others, bring those things to God and pour out our unhappy situations and troubled by people around us, including your own family, my own family members. Even we can pray, we can say what people say about our faith, even our relationship with God. Maybe many people are saying that there is no salvation in God. We don't want to hear that, but people will say. But eventually we hear people are just judging and sometimes cursing us. And people will blame for what we have done. What shall you do? They will point their fingers at us. What shall you do? They will undermine our faith in Christ. They will hurt our feelings. Our emotions and feelings will be mercilessly and trampled by somebody around us, even who we know about them really well. Then what shall we do? Just sitting there doing nothing? David's prayer teaches us, bring our troubled hearts to God. Don't leave behind everything. Come before him and pour out everything that you have. Report. And everyone and every situation turned against you. That King David did in our prayer. Why? Maybe we can ask why he did it. I'd rather be quiet doing nothing, saying nothing, just waiting for God's time. Maybe that's one of our habits. But why David did it? Verse 3, very interesting verse. He says, "But you, O Lord, this is my situation. I'm saying that this is so horrible. People are turning against and they say, there's no salvation in you. This is my bad situation. But you, Lord," verse 3, "are my shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." In this particular Psalm 3, David used many military words such as a shield and foes and enemies, victory and people as army. And anyway, in his prayer, we can understand how much he was struggling. His situation was really, really bad, like using all the military language. At any war, probably the most important thing is not to bring your sword and weapon or spear, but your shield. None of mighty and best skilled soldiers could go to war without a shield and protection that would eventually save them and protect his life. Now in Psalm 3, David knew that. He confessed that. "I know my situation is no good. Everybody is attacking me. I'm trying to protect myself, but it's not me, because you, God, is my shield." In every situation, David was able to hold his faith in God, not losing it. He was able to bring his all troubled heart to God because he boldly believed that God is his shield. Now we see the same expression in other Psalms, Psalm 7 and 10. "My shield with God, who saves the upright in heart." Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield. Psalm 18 in verse 30, "He is a shield for those who take refuge in Him." Even Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Brothers and sisters, where do we go when our hearts afflicted with many troubles? Just think about it this past week, even last month, your life. Where do you go when your heart is seriously afflicted with many troubles that you cannot imagine? When you feel you are in open field, nobody there to protect you, nothing that you have, no future, nothing, no hope. Where do you go and what to do? Just give up? Doing nothing? Or remaining depressed? And I strongly believe that David's confession today must be our confession. When we have lots of troubles surrounding us, we must say that, "No, it's okay, because God is my shield." Not something else, not my money, not my power or my wisdom, somebody else that I know. But God is my shield. Jesus Christ is my shield. Therefore, He will surely cover me and protect me. I am His child. It doesn't matter what people will say about you and me, and you are nothing, worthless. It's okay not to have money in our bank saving account. It's okay we don't have any money to pay the bill. Seriously, look at David's confession. Everything what happened to him, he said that you are my shield, my glory, and the lift of my head. Since he knows that God is his shield, He did not worry about things that he had, his unfortunate situation. Rather, he did one thing. He spent his time to pray. Psalm 3 is one of his prayers. But in verse 3, in his prayer, he says, I cried aloud to the Lord. Literally in Hebrew, he cried aloud. Two words there. I cried aloud to the Lord. You know the secret. He answered me from his holy hill. The same thing what Jesus says in John 16:23. Whatever you ask of Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now listen carefully. This is not something that we can ask, Lord, give me a Mercedes. Lord, not that prayer. And similar teaching about prayer in Matthew chapter 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The point of the biblical teaching of prayer here is not to have what we want. That's why we pray. No, not that way. But to have intimate relationship with God through our prayers. Everything gets worse around King David. Yet his faith stood strong in God through his intimate relationship, through his prayer. David knows that God listens to his prayer. God will listen to his prayer. God listened his prayer. David believes that God answers his prayer. God will answer his prayer. God already answered his prayer. That's why he say, I cried aloud to the Lord. Faith in action. We know so many things. We study the Bible. We know so many things. But our faith hangs somewhere. Not in our action, but David proves that. His faith in action. He trusted God all the time. Verse 5, he said that. It's an interesting situation. I lay down and slept. I walk again, for the Lord sustained me. Now his prayers in verse 1 and 5 gets really serious in verse 5. He just didn't pray, Lord, I know that you will answer me, you will protect me, you are my shield, but I can't go to sleep because my son will come anytime and kill me. Oh, I can't go. That's not the way he acted. He totally trusted God, although Absalom was looking for him every corner. It could be any time, any moment that his son will find him, and then David could not go to sleep if he knew that. If he knew that his son was near, around maybe 1 mile, 2 miles, he couldn't go to sleep at all. But interestingly, he said that he confessed that, I lay down and slept, and I walk again. He wakes up in the morning and says, oh, Lord, thank you so much. And then he said, why? In these first five, he said, for the Lord sustained me. This is a powerful language. Nothing else but the Lord God is holding his life. From his confession, we see his complete trust in God when he did have nothing. Maybe his soldiers around him did not understand him. He's going to sleep. Maybe they were saying to each other, wow, our King David, how could he go to sleep? We can go to sleep. But because I don't want to die here. King David believes that not only God listens to his prayer, but also God answers his prayer. God will surely sustain him. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God sustains us? David says in verse 6 like this, I will not be afraid of my thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around, because he knows a secret. God holds me. Remember how he started this psalm. David said, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. But right now, in verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. I really know that everyone is rising against me. I know that everything gets worse in every corner, everywhere. But I do not worry, because I know one thing, God sustains me. Therefore, I trust God all the time. That's something that we find here at Psalm 3. But my challenge for you and me, I've been struggling with this psalm and thinking that it could be my challenge to me. Could David's confession all the way through here be my confession? Could David's faith be my faith today? I don't know about your situations. Maybe you feel you're trapped right now. Nowhere to go. No answer. Maybe you have lots of troubles after troubles that you don't want to share with other people. You don't want other people to know about your situation. The bottom of it, you say, I really don't understand God's will. What is planned for me? And you see the people, and even your best friends, are turning against their back against you. And what shall you do? Can David's confession be your confession, my confession? Bringing our troubled hearts to God. Nothing behind, but everything. Don't waste our time to worry about things that we have, but just spend our time to pray. Pray and trust God. Because we just learned that we know that we believe that God sustains us. God sustains you and me. He will. What about our church? Sometimes we feel depressed if we look at the budget report at the back of our bulletin. Sometimes we feel, okay, what is our future? There are so many empty seats around us. Maybe a discouraging point that we see. But as a church all together, family members, can we pray like King David? Can we bring things that we are struggling, not to somebody else, but to God and everything? And can we declare that God and Lord, my Lord, it's not me, it's not us to sustain New Hope Church. If we think that way, that's totally wrong. God sustains our church, New Hope Christian Church. It's not us to sustain our life, but God is. God is the one who will refresh our faith and mind and everything, and with His promises from the Bible. And He reminds us of His power and promise. God is the one who will strengthen our faith when everyone thinks there is no salvation for us. God is the one who will hold, and He is holding our life right now and sustains it right now, not you and me. Therefore, King David says in verse 7, now arise, O Lord, and save me. Now he's declaring, O my God, and for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked. He knows that it will happen. And ends of his psalm in verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing on your people. Now one time Paul says, Romans 5 and 6 and 8, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." And verse 7, "For one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Surely salvation belongs to the Lord. God saved us by sacrificing His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Now we have salvation. God proves His love. He doesn't say just, "I love you," doing nothing, but He proves His love to David to protect him. He proves His love for us while we were sinners, still sinners and struggling, feel that, "Oh no, this is so horrible." Christ died for us. Now we became His holy people, His precious children. Brothers and sisters, God will never abandon you and me as He didn't abandon David. God will never abandon our church either. Therefore, trust God and believe His saving grace in Christ. This is known as the morning psalm. Psalm 3 is known as a morning psalm in morning worship psalm, because based on what David said, "I slept, I woke up again." Every morning when you wake up, remember God's promise. As David confessed, God will restore, refresh our wounded hearts and broken hearts. Life is not easy. Maybe we feel very discouraged every day. But remember that God is strong. He is my shield. He will answer my prayer. Salvation comes from Him. There's nothing to worry about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for King David. Although he was a great king, we see that he's like us, very weak in many, many areas, and sinful and struggling, but he has something that sometimes we don't have: faith in God. Lord, we are lifting our troubles to You, our troubled heart, our broken relationships to You, because we know that You are our shield, and protect us and help us to remember what David says today to us, and live in this world as Your children. And help us to proclaim that salvation belongs to You. We pray these things, Your Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.